You can turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Romans 12, that's where we're going to spend some time today. I think many of you probably remember in 2002 at the Somerset, Pennsylvania coal mine where there were 18 miners about 240 feet under the earth. I can't imagine being 240 feet under the earth. And they had some poorly marked out maps of an adjoining mine that had been abandoned and filled up with water, and they dug right into that mine by accident and flooded where they were working with millions of gallons of water. Now, 9 of the 18 miners were in a location where they could get out, but 9 were not, and they were trapped. So could you imagine being trapped 240 feet underground with millions of gallons of water separating you from the exit? I mean, these guys were wet. The water was about 55 degrees. And one of the greatest threats was hypothermia. They could die a slow death from hypothermia. According to one of the news reports, when one would get cold, the other 8 would huddle around the person and warm that person. And when another person got cold, the favor was returned. Harry B. Mayhew was one of the miners. He said everybody had strong moments. But any certain time, maybe one guy got down and then the rest pulled together. And when that guy would get back up and maybe someone else would feel a little weaker, we would huddle around that one and encourage them and warm them and help them to regain strength. It was a team effort. And that's the only way we could have survived, he says. We were either going to die together or survive together. And they faced incredibly hostile conditions together. And they all came out alive because they stayed together. What a picture of the church. What a picture of God's family, the body of Christ. We are stronger together. We are better together. We accomplish more together. We're beginning a series today called Together, and it's fitting that the last Sunday of this month, we're all going to be together, one church, one family, one service, just for that Sunday. Now, this is the church. And I want to go over with you our 4 core values. The first one is making disciples. That we will personally share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. That we want all of us to be people who share and demonstrate God's love for us in Christ. Now, every one of us can reach one. And you might say, I don't know that much about the Bible. I know there'll be lots of questions I can't answer. I don't know what to say. But you can plant a seed and water the seed. And we're all called to do something according to our faith, according to what we know. It may be your testimony. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be as simply as inviting someone. We have cards that are in the Welcome Center, and if anyone is in here in this service as a part of the communication team, I'm going to ask you to go out a little bit early and hand these out as we leave. That here is a card that gives information on our coming events, and the one of them being our Friend Day on March 15th. And you can hand this card to someone and say, we are having a Friend Day at our church in a couple weeks on the 15th. And I want to invite you to come and be my friend that Sunday. It might be a waitress that you see regularly at a restaurant you frequent. It might be the teller at the bank that maybe you go in often. It might be a next door neighbor, a friend, or a relative. But everybody can invite one. And so we want to encourage you to invite one to come that Friend Day as we look upon the friends of Jesus. Our second core value is to trust God's Word as truth. That if no one else holds this Word as truth, we will. If it becomes illegal, we will still stand upon this book as the Word of truth. Mainstream denominations may reject it. Our nation may reject it. But we will continue to hold this up as the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God. It is truth and nothing but the truth. We will strive for excellence, for God is not a God of mediocrity. Look at all of creation. He each day stepped back and said, "It is good." Consider the stars and the sun, the moon, and the beauty of creation. God is a God of excellence, and He is worthy of our best. And we've been created in His image. And our fourth core value is to rejoice in growth. That there is more rejoicing in heaven over one who comes to repentance than those who are saved. You see, it's all about that one lost sheep. It was all about us until we were rescued, until we were saved. But when we were saved, there was great rejoicing in heaven. How many is too many? We can't place a limit. And so we're going to rejoice in growth. Now this involves four key areas of focus in our strategy. The first one is communication. We've been given the greatest mission of all. The greatest message that has ever been given to the world. And we need to communicate it to the world. And so our communication team is doing some great things. And they've been working hard. And there's still a lot more to do in our communication team. But they are working to help us and to give us the tools to communicate the message of Christ. For we are all ambassadors. If you're in Christ, you are called to be an ambassador. Our second key area of focus is our connection. That with such an important message, we want to connect people to Jesus and to one another. And so we have a connect team that's in infancy that we're trying to build. And this includes our door greeters. We have door greeters at the early service and at the later service. We need door greeters during that middle hour. We want to have lobby hosts, those who are in the lobby, and during that middle hour, especially when we're all down there gathering and visiting, we may not notice a guest that comes in and they need help finding their way. Jamie Lamb was sharing with me not long ago that when he and his family came, they came during that middle hour and there were people gathered everywhere and they walked in and it can be intimidating when you don't know where things are and you don't know where to go and you don't know very many people and you're looking at all these people fellowshipping with one another. Jamie said, "I'll never forget," and it means a lot, that Jonathan Thayer, he came up to us and he introduced himself and he said, let me show you where the children's check-in is." And he took us there and I'll show you where the sanctuary is and I'll save you a seat for worship. But that has meant a lot to their family. We need more hosts that are going to say, "I'm going to be available to just be there waiting for a guest to help them find their way." That's part of our connection team. And we are working to develop our welcome center, that become a center of communication where guests can go following the worship and receive a gift and get any information. And if you don't have a Bible, you can go there and get a Bible. And we want everything to flow through there. And we'll probably put a second welcome center in the gathering area. And so we need people to help serve in these areas. At our current welcome center, there's a card where you can fill out and say, I will do my part in the connection ministry. If you're already a door greeter, we'd like for you to fill that out so that we know you still want to be a door greeter. If you're willing to help as a host. Now, if you're like me, you don't sign up for things and you don't go out of your way to sign up. I need somebody to come to me or make it simple. That's how we are, a lot of us. And so as we're building this team, you might get a call. You might get a team member come to you and ask you. And it'd also be very helpful if you go and take one of those cards. We already have a couple people that said, yes, we're going to be a part of this team. A third critical area of our strategy is communion. Now, we're still trying to come up with four C's, and we did call this community, but we were getting confused because we're talking about reaching out into our community. We're talking about serving our community. And now this community was really about us as a family and how we take care of one another and how we grow in Christ and how we disciple one another and how we form small groups. So we're going to try communion, which will probably be confusing because when you think of communion, you think of taking of the bread and the juice. And communion is defined as a sacrament for remembering the sacrifice of Jesus, but is also defined as intimate fellowship in which a body of Christians share a common faith. The word says common union, that we want to help one another and serve one another. And this is about what we do as the family together. And the fourth part of our strategy is compassion. That we want to get more into our community and serve the people who have needs. Once a month we're going to the Healing Place, an addiction recovery center for men. Well, they are about to open up in Richmond an addiction recovery center for women, the Healing Place for women. And we're going to schedule a tour so we can go see that. And we'll hopefully have two teams going every month, one to the Healing Place for men and one to the Healing Place for women. So we'll be going to both places. We serve Moments of Hope outreach by the first Saturday of every other month. We started out going a couple, two, three times a month. And then as the ministry's grown and others have gotten involved, we went to once a month, and now other churches want to get involved. Now we're once every other month. And I know several of you love going down there and serving the homeless. That's another way we show compassion. We show compassion through our firewood ministry, through our Gethsemane Says Grace, when we give away 100 Thanksgiving meals at Thanksgiving, through a backpack ministry, through the Christian village that we serve and treat the town in other ways, the Pregnancy Resource Center that we deliver diapers and baby wipes, the Angel Tree Ministry, MSEF once a month, the meal packing event where we pack meals to go to a third world country, the Ronald McDonald House, the blood drive, and there's so many things that we are doing that shows compassion by meeting needs of people, but we need to do more. Now, the expectation as dictated by God Himself in His Word is 100% participation. And part of our 2020 vision is that we want 100% participation. We want everybody to get out of the bleachers and to get into the game, to get on the field. 100%, that's the call of God. And as we consider making a difference in our world, it begins with presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice. In Romans 12, the first two verses, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, the church, when you make it about you, or we make it about self, then we miss the point of God's call on our lives. Yes, there's a time when it is about self. Acts 2:40, after Peter had just preached the gospel, proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God, that He was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, He raised again the third day. And when the people said, what do we do? He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a follow-up, He said, save yourselves. Now, in reality, we don't save ourselves. God saves us through Jesus. But He's given us the ability to choose. We can choose salvation, or we can reject it. We can choose to follow Him, or we can choose to follow the world. We can choose to be conformed to the world, or we can choose to be transformed. And on that day, 3,000 accepted the message and were saved. And it was no longer about them after that. They were called to be living sacrifices. I hope it's okay if I put up this picture. Last Sunday, David and Kim Yates, they were baptized here that afternoon. David and Kim, we love having them here. We love them. They've become friends of ours. And we just love that they're a part of this church. They've been following Jesus for most of their lives. And they decided we want to take that next step and be immersed into Christ, baptized by immersion. Norma Betts was baptized into Christ in Louisville, Kentucky on January 9th. You may think, well, why are you putting up Norma Betts, who was baptized in Louisville, Kentucky on January 9th? Because she's the oldest woman I think I've ever heard of being baptized. I thought it was interesting, and so I saved it in my computer. I meant to show it last week and forgot I had it. And I remembered this past week that she was 102 years old. 102, just a few weeks from her 103rd birthday. You can see there's a minister in there. He took her confession. And her granddaughter, Tiffany Blandford, baptized her because her granddaughter had an influence on her life. At 102. In fact, when her granddaughter introduced her, she said, "My grandmother's literally older than sliced bread." At 102 years old, she said, "I was sprinkled at 3 months old, and I didn't know what baptism by immersion was until I started attending this church 2 years ago in Louisville, Kentucky, after moving in with my daughter. And I discovered that in the New Testament, baptism is described as a burial. The literal Greek word means to immerse. That every baptism in the New Testament was by immersion." And so she said, "I wanted to do it." So at 102, she was baptized into Christ. And she said, when she came up out of the water, she said, "I feel like a new person." Now, once we are saved, it no longer is about us. It's no longer about self. It's about presenting ourselves as living sacrifices for the sake of others. Luke 9:23, we find Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, there's a reason it's called sacrifice. It costs us. When you follow Christ, it costs you. It costs you time. It costs you resources. A living sacrifice is one who is denying self and saying, "Here I am, use me." And it's hard work. And it's hard work to be in the nursery on Sunday morning, but I'm talking about more than just being in the nursery. I'm talking about serving those who are broken and hurting and those who are in need. I'm talking about giving of your time outside of this day of the week. So we are serving with compassion the world. Jesus said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant." We're instructed to be transformed, not conformed to the world. But this is what the world's view is. The world's standard is, "I'm in charge. Do it my way. You serve me. I'm worthy. I worked hard to get to this position. I worked my way to the top. That's not my job." But it looks like this when you're in God's kingdom, when you're transformed. It's counterintuitive. It goes against our natural tendency, but it brings abundant life. That it's not about me. I'm here to serve you. I want to make you better. I want to make you successful. My business or my company succeeds when you succeed. And I want to serve you to be so that you will be your best. I want you to achieve. I know I own this place, but I don't mind cleaning the dishes out of the dishwasher in the company lounge or the staff kitchen. If you're the boss, you're the servant, the lead servant. You want a great life, a great church, a great testimony, then you serve like Jesus served. And this is at the heart of what Jesus calls us to be, and He's calling us to greatness by being living sacrifices, by being servants. And He wants us 100% to use the gifts that have been given to you. 100%, that's the call. Read Ephesians. The leaders in the church are not called to do all the ministry, but to equip you in the body to use your gifts for ministry. Verse 3 and following, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." Have you ever stubbed your little toe on your foot? Don't tell me what you said when you did it. I don't want to know what you said. But it hurts. It affects even that little toe. It can affect, you break that toe, or it's black and blue because you kicked a chair by. It can just mess up your whole day. It can mess up your week. You're just miserable. So even one part not doing its part can affect the whole. And we can be less than what God has called us to be. "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." Notice this, verse 6. "Let us use them." You have a gift. God has gifted you for a purpose in the church. Let us use them 100%. Get out of the stands and into the game. Verse 5 says, "We are one body. Together we are one. Together we are stronger. Together we are more." If service, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. God has gifted you with passions and gifts, and He's calling you to use them for His purpose and His glory. A group of businessmen were running late for their flight. They were running through the terminal. They were rushing to get to the gate because they were on a tight schedule, and they were just barely going to make it. And they were running through the terminal, and they came upon a table where a 16-year-old girl was selling apples. They were stacked up nice and neatly on the table. But as they're rushing through the airport, one of the gentlemen hit the table, and apples started going in all directions from the table across the floor in the terminal, and people here and there were kicking them. But they didn't have time to stop. They rushed and got to the gate just in time to get through. But one of the men said, "I can't. I have to go back. Tell my wife that I'll catch a later flight." And the doors closed. And he went back to find that 16-year-old girl on her hands and knees trying to pick up the apples with tears coming down her face. And people were too busy to help. And he came back and found out that she was a blind girl, 16 years old, and she was allowed to set up a little stand there in the terminal to sell apples from her family farm. He got down and he helped her, and he gathered up apples, and he found some that were bruised and battered. And he would set them in a special basket, set them aside, helped her get her table set back up and all the apples back on display. He said, I'm so sorry. I hope we didn't ruin your day. I hope the rest of your day goes much better. And I'm sorry that we were in such a hurry. Here's $40. I hope this makes up for the trouble that we caused, and the apples that were damaged. And he began to walk away. She said, Mister, are you Jesus? And that just hit him. So he realized, as a follower of Christ, he is called to be Jesus. Wherever he goes, he is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And as the body of Christ, together, we are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we are stronger together, and we accomplish more together. And we will see lives transformed when we work together, everyone doing his or her part. Heavenly Father, thank you for the greatest message that has ever been given to the world. And we have it in our hands. Forgive us for holding those hands tight, for being selfish with that greatest gift, the greatest message ever been given. I pray that you would help us to share that message, to communicate it effectively, to connect with one another, and to connect others to Jesus and to one another. That we would, as part of the body, commune together, proclaiming the sacrifice of Jesus, studying the Word, helping one another when one is hurting, one is broken, one is down. We surround and help and encourage, just as the miners did. That we would make disciples, that we would multiply ourselves. And that we would take this love of Jesus into the world as we show compassion to those who are hurting and broken. Father, now during our invitation, if there's one that needs to respond to Peter's call that first day, save yourselves from this corrupt generation, I pray that you would give them the courage to step out and accept that same message that was delivered on the first day from Peter that we still deliver today. Salvation through Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.